Welcome to the journey. We're kicking off a new series today called Welcome to the Journey. Turn to your neighbor and say, Welcome to the Journey. You didn't sound convincing. Turn to him, say it with a deep voice like Pastor Gene. Come on, say, Welcome to the Journey. There you go. Welcome to the Journey. How many know we are on a journey? You say, Pastor, how long does this journey last? As long as you're breathing, you're on a journey. One thing I've learned that we never arrive, but we never are reaching our final destination. We may reach one destination, but God has always got another destination designed for our lives, and that our life is a continual journey, a process of maturity that God is calling every one of us to get to. It's a process that, you know, that we get to one spot and we think, oh, finally we're here. Then we look up again and God's like, no, you're not. You're just there. I've got another spot for you. And he takes you to another level. And after a period of time, he begins to move your heart. And our life is full of journeys. Our life is full of pit stops along the way. Our life is full of peaks and valleys, disappointments, celebrations, milestones, things that we have in our life. Our life is full of journey. And this journey today is what I want to talk about. Welcome to the journey. There was a survey done recently of over 500 churches, and over 200,000 people participated in this survey. And they were asking them and seeing where was their spiritual journey at? Where were they at? And they come to the conclusion after surveying 200,000 people who were going to the church that basically there's four types of people who come to church. Four types of people who come to church. The first type of people they call is the people who are exploring God. People who are exploring God. These people are people who had not yet accepted Christ, but they're kind of just opening up their heart to him. They're kind of just looking a little bit, checking the thing out. And then they have people who come to church who are what? Beginning in God. Yes, people who are beginning in God. These are people who have just accepted Christ, and they are taking that first step on their journey of beginning to know God. And then we have those along the way, those people who are close to God. The next step is close to God. They begin to go from exploring God to accepting him to beginning in God, and then begin to draw close to him. They begin to learn more about him. And then ultimately we have people who reach this level of God-centeredness, where they are God-centered in their life. Now this is a journey along the process. And as we think about this, this survey came out and said this right here. There's four classes of people, not really say classes, but four types of people, where they're at in their journey. Exploring God, beginning in God, close to God, and God-centered. And I think that's really, really true if you look at it and we think about it in our own heart. If you are somewhere along this way, that probably everybody in this room fits somewhere along this category, that you could pick a place and say, I fit there. And you may not be to God-centered yet, but the important thing is this, that you realize you're on a journey. It's a journey, and a journey is what? It's a process of getting to the final destination where God has called you to be, to a place. And so today, wherever you're at on the journey is not here to judge and to discourage you. Well, I feel like I'm just barely at the beginning. That's okay. That's a good thing. The main thing is you're on the journey. You're on the right path, and that you're on this process of maturity. We're called to maturity. In Scripture, we see where we're continually called to leave former things behind and go on to more mature things. Paul even wrote and talked about how, as Christians, that we have to leave aside the milk at some point and begin to move on to spiritual meat, mature food, just like as a baby would leave its milk. Now, how many know milk is good? Milk is good for you. Builds good bones. But how many are glad today if you go out to the Outback Steakhouse, you're not ordering a glass of milk for your dinner? I mean, it was all right when you was one or two or three. But you know what? At 30, 30-something, that's, you know, it's not good. I want a steak. I've matured on through other things. Now, give me a couple Oreo cookies and a glass of milk, and that's fine. But for my main meal, man, to chew on, I want a good steak. I want some meat. Give me something to meat. And this is what we are called to as Christians, that it's all right to start off exploring God. It's all right to start off in the beginning in God, but at some point, we've got to move to a different level of maturity. That God is calling every one of us to move along this journey to a different level of maturity. And as I read this survey, I really thought, and the scripture came alive to me, the parable in Mark chapter 4 that Jesus taught. It's a story here, and I want you to really capture it today. I'm not going to spend a long time today on this intro, but I really want you to capture the essence of this journey and the importance of this. And you see this come alive in Mark chapter 4. This is Jesus talking. And then he said, he taught them many things by parables. Now, parables, the word para means to come alongside. And what this basically means was Jesus would throw out a story to come alongside the teachings of Christ. The teachings that he taught, he would oftentimes use a story to come alongside a truth. So we had the Word of God as truth, and then Jesus would tell a story that brought that truth to life. And so it was called a parable. So you could actually come and learn about this truth of the God's Word in a practical way. So he would throw out these stories to come alongside the teachings that he was teaching. And so Jesus was teaching a parable, and he said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell upon the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell upon stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. But other seeds fell upon the good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, some even 100-fold. And Jesus said, and he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Hold right there a second, guys. "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, who was Jesus talking to here? My first thought would be he was there with a bunch of people. Some are missing their ears, right? Is that what what was he talking about? He who has ears, let him hear. He was talking about in the spiritual realm, those who have spiritual ears to hear the things of the Spirit, to hear the things of the Father. He's saying, this is who I'm talking to. Those people who are in Christ, those people who are attending church, those people who are exploring who God is, those people who are God-centered. He goes, those who have ears to understand that I'm speaking a parable along the spiritual realm, let them hear. It's very important. This is what he was talking to. Let's keep going. And this is what happened. His disciples asked him, it's like, what are you talking about? What's the story actually mean? And look at Jesus' response. I think it's very, very important when we look at his response. Do you not understand this parable? That's what Jesus asked them. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? That's a very important statement. Jesus just basically said this. If you can't understand this parable, you'll never understand any other parable. He's saying, if you want to have an understanding to all the teachings I'm teaching you, of all the parables I've ever taught you, you must first understand this parable. He goes, if you can't understand this parable, how then will you understand all the rest, all the other parables? He was asking his disciples this question. You must have an understanding. Those who have ears, let them hear. Those who are spiritual, you must understand these things. The sower, he goes on to explain, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown by stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. But after, when a tribulation and a persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfully of riches, desires of other things entering into the choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But look what the last statement says. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, they bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. What Jesus was saying, there's basically four different kinds of people. There's those who can just barely understand God. They're looking out there, but nothing's taking a hold of. There's those who are stepping out. They're kind of getting their feet wet a little bit, but there's still no fruit there. There's those who are bearing some fruit, but they really can't. They're not there for the long haul. And there's those who really take hold, and there's those who mature to a process where they really are God-centered, where they are bearing not just a little bit of fruit, but how much fruit? Look what it says here. They are bearing some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. How many know that's a good return from your investment? I don't know if you've ever studied investment or not, but how many? 100-fold is a good return. I mean, how many would like the days when you can get 10% back? Remember those days back when the stock market was, you remember those days when 10% was the guarantee? I mean, nowadays, I went the other day to move something into a CD, and they're offering me like 1.7%. I'm like, you know, 1.7%, it doesn't go very far, does it? But Jesus says this. He says, those who are God-centered, they bear fruit 30, 40, 60, even 100 fold back. I don't know about you, but this is the place that God is calling me to be. This is where I want to be, and I believe in my heart this is where God is calling every one of us to be, that God wants every one of us to bear fruit, 30, 60, even 100% return for what's going on. But in order to get there, we must be people of a journey who are maturing in the process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a place, it's a journey that God is taking us along this journey. We have to understand this parable to understand the rest of them. And so as we go back to our chart, let's go back to our chart there, and we see the exploring God, beginning in God, and close to God, and God-centered. If we look at these, how do we get from these spaces? Now, there's three spaces in between these places, this process. And so how do we get to the first space? How do we go from exploring God to beginning in God? The very truth of the matter is this, is that the order to get from exploring God when you first come in to saying, I am just checking God out, there's a matter of grace that is there. That grace is the bridge that gaps it, that says, you know what, it links me from going from exploring God to beginning in God. At some point along the way, I understand that I am saved by grace. I am saved by grace. It's the saying that we've got to understand. And I tell you what, this is what's such an important principle. We take it for granted as Christians. This is an amazing principle, that God's grace is so big in our life. It's so amazing. How many are glad today for God's grace, man? I can tell you, I need a lot of grace in my life, and God has given me a lot of grace in my life. But it's at the point when I finally realize that God's grace was for me. It's big enough for me. No matter what I've done, God's grace is there. And I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by grace. It's the first acknowledgement of really understanding the first path of my salvation. But what happens is many times in our life we're saved and then 10, 15, 20 years go by and then we think it's all about works. I'm saved because of all the good things I do. And we forget, no, it was always about grace and it always will be about grace. That works will follow those who believe in the Lord. Works will follow, good works and things will follow. But I'm never, ever, ever saved by my works. I'm always saved by what? Grace. 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 It's grace. It's grace. And so the first acknowledgement in our journey along this path is learning that grace is what gets me into the kingdom. Grace is what starts off my journey. Grace, the acknowledgement that God died for me. The fact that I was a sinner. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. And it was Jesus Christ who came voluntarily from the Father, his only begotten Son, and died for me. He took my punishment. He buried it upon the cross. He shed his blood so that I could have forgiveness of my sins. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. It was given to me what? By grace. It was grace. It was grace. We deserve death because we rejected Christ in the garden. Man rejected God's plan in the garden, but God had a plan of grace to redeem us. God had a plan of grace to take us back to the place that God had always originally designed. A fellowship with him. A being in a good relationship with him. A place where we could walk. And so grace is what starts me off on this journey. Grace takes me to the beginning point in God. And then what moves me on but from grace, from beginning in God to being close to God, is I understand the Bible. I begin to study the Bible. I hear God's word taught. And the Bible becomes alive to my life. And so some point along this journey, you hear enough messages being taught. You hear enough things being spoken to you. You're studying the Word of God. You're in a small group. And the Word of God begins to take root in your life and begins to come alive in your life. At some point, you move from beginning in God to say, you know what? I really want to follow after God a little closer. I want to be a little closer to God. Somewhere along the point, God is calling me to do more in my life. I see God's Word, and it's exciting as a pastor to see that happening. I see it happen all the time where people come to me and say, Pastor, you're preaching this and teaching this, and God's Word says this. You know what? I decided I was going to stop doing this, and I was going to start doing this. And they name off things that God was speaking to them. I'm like, yes. I'm so excited because you're taking God's Word at face value. You're putting your faith in it, and you're growing. What happened is you're going from beginning in God to becoming close to God. Because as you get closer to God, you want to do what His Word says. You want to apply it to your life. You want to please Him. You want to grow in Him. And so I go from living in grace to saying, you know what? I know I'm living in grace, but there's also something more here. There's something in God's Word. There's a depth here. There's something that's foundational here that I need in my life. And so I'm on this journey of getting close to God. It begins with understanding God's Word, getting more of God's Word in my life. I've got to have God's Word there. And then how do we move here This is probably the most challenging part, I believe, is going from being close to God to being a God-centered person, is the word giving. Exciting. The word giving. A person who learns and says, you know what, everything I have belongs to the Lord. As we talked about a few weeks ago, well, God's the owner, I'm the manager. What takes me to the next level is saying, you know what, God, you can have all of my life. If you want my treasures, you can have them. God, if you want my talent, you can have them. God, if you want my time, you can have it. God, I want to do what's necessary to please the Lord. I want to do what's necessary to reach God's kingdom. I want to do what's necessary to reach the people around me for God. I want people to know that God loves them, and I'm willing to sell out 100%. God, where you tell me to go, I'll go. What you want me to do, I'll do. What you want me to say, I'll say. It's a place of getting to God's centeredness, and it comes where you say, my life is not my own. I give it away to God to use any way he wants. That's what I'm talking about here. And so it's a journey. It's a process that moves us from grace to understanding of God's word, a foundation to learning that I want to give my life away to God. I want God to use me any way he can. Let me maybe better put it this way. Maybe you can think of God as the close to God is what? When I get there, God becomes the co-pilot. When I get there with the close to God, he becomes the co-pilot. When God becomes God-centered, he becomes the pilot. Big difference. You ever heard that bumper sticker or seen that bumper sticker? God's my co-pilot. That's good, but it's ultimately not the goal God wants. God doesn't want to be a co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot, okay? He wants to lead us, and so we are learning to be there. Maybe you can understand it a little bit better this way. I wrote it down. Exploring God is, first of all, is what they are. They know of God. These are people, they don't really have a relationship with him, but they know of God. They're coming in, they're exploring him. Who is God? I know he's there. I kind of believe in him, but let me just come and check it out. The next level is they become a friend of God. Beginning God, become a friend of God. I enter into a relationship with Jesus. He becomes my friend. The next level, God becomes my best friend. God becomes my best friend. There's a big difference here. From knowing God to becoming a friend of God, and then moving to the next level of saying, God is my best friend. This is where, you know what? I'm really digging this relationship me and God have. He is such an awesome God. I am learning to talk to him, and he talks back. Isn't that an amazing thing? How many know God would talk to you? Isn't that true? How many have ever had God talk to your heart? Anybody hear it? Yeah, you know. God will talk to us. If we will listen, God is speaking. It says the sheep will know his voice. We are the sheep. He's the great shepherd. He is speaking. Are we listening? And as we become God's best friend, we're listening to him. And it's not only listening, but what else? I'm talking back. God, thank you, God, for what you're doing. God, I need this in my life to change. God, this is what I'm going through. God, this is what I'm feeling. God, this is what my relationship's about. I'm just talking to him like a best friend. I'm learning to trust him like a best friend. But this ultimately is a new level. There still is another level that God is wanting us to get to in being God-centered, and that's the soulmate level, I'll put. It's a soulmate where God becomes, ultimately, the person who's been married 50 years and you would do anything for. You're just like one. Ultimately, God wants you to be to that point where you are willing to sacrifice your life for him, where you're willing to do anything he asks you to do, and nothing could ever, ever, ever separate you from God. Nothing could ever separate you from God, no matter if the economy tanked tomorrow, worse than it is now, no matter if the world was turned upside down, no matter what you went through in your life, no matter what, you know that God is your source of strength, and I am holding on, and nothing can ever separate me from God's love. Nothing can ever separate me. I want to please the Lord, and I'm sticking on to him. Nothing's going to change that. I'm holding on to that. God wants us to get to that place where he becomes our soulmate, where you just know. You're so in tune that you know what they're thinking. You know what he's thinking. You know what he's speaking. He doesn't even have to say it. You didn't know it. I know what God wants me to do. I know God. Because why? Because I'm so close to him. I want to please him so much. I know what he wants me to do. I don't have to go out and fast 20 days. I know God's speaking to me. This is what he wants to do. You see, there's a place that God's wanting us to get in this journey. So, how do we get there? Through grace, understanding God's word, through giving. This is the places that take us from one part of the journey to the next. We just read this verse in part of the story we just read in Mark 4:14. Look what it says. It says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, look what it says. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, let me just tell you, this is Satan's number one job. This is Satan's number one job that he wants to do to every one of us. He wants to take away God's word out of your life. This is what ultimately what he wants to do. He wants to take away God's word out of your life. Matthew 13:19 says, same story being told, the same parable being told. It says that he uses the word snatches. Word snatches. And so he wants to take away, he wants to snatch. Scripture is very clear that Satan wants to take away God's word. So how does he do that? So what happens is this, I'll be up here teaching God's word, and Satan's telling you this. Did you leave the iron on? Some of you already thought, who thought that this morning? Who had that thought? Who's had that thought already that you left the iron on? How about this? Hope the oven's not too hot right now. My dinner could be, your lunch is burning. Anybody have a thought about lunch? I hope the lines aren't too long today. How long is he going to speak today to get there? And Satan wants to get your mind focused on other things. He wants to get your mind. That's what he's supposed to do. He takes away. Or this will happen. Where pastor's preaching and you'll say this. You know what? I just don't think I agree with what he just said. I don't think I agree with that part of God's word. Now, the other part I agree with, this part I don't agree. It doesn't fit me just right. And Satan will get you thinking about that. Satan wants to do, he wants to come in and just take away what God's trying to speak to your heart. He comes in, he attacks your mind, he wants to get you distracted, he wants to take away your flow of thought and memory. He does not want God's word to take hold in your life. And so he's going to distract you through the service. He's going to distract you and have your thoughts going 100 miles an hour in other places. He's going to do things, and that's what Satan wants to do. Because why? Because ultimately he knows that if the word is there, that you're going to go to a different level. He knows if the word is there, you're going to go from a beginning stage to making God your best friend. That the word is what takes you from grace to becoming a person who is what? Who is learning to be closer to God. And so he understands that. And Satan's number one job is to take that away from our life. Why does he want to take that away? It's a very important thing that he is trying to take it away. Why is this important? Because Satan does not want you to know some things. You know that? Satan doesn't want you to know some things about your life. Very simple. Let me give you three things about salvation that Satan doesn't want you to know. First of all, Satan doesn't want you to know this. So this is a secret. Your salvation is not based on works. Our salvation is not based on works. Look what Scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Satan wants you to think that you are saved by your works. Do you know that? Satan wants you to think in that. He wants you to think that you're saved by your works for two reasons. One, he wants to get you so busy trying to do works that you forget about your relationship with God. Or you burn out. Or number two, he wants you to think that because I'm not doing enough works, I'm not doing enough good things, then God really doesn't love me. God's grace is not really for me because I haven't done enough good things in my life. I've failed a lot in my life. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've failed God tremendously. And so Satan wants you to think that God's love is based upon works, not upon grace. And ultimately, what we know this, that God's love for me, a salvation, what, is the one of grace, that I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We were given it freely. God's love for us is ultimately incomprehensible, that he would love us that much, that in spite of our sin, in spite of our failures, he still loves us. He still loves us. And what happens is Satan comes in and he messes with your mind. Don't you even think about raising your hands in worship. You know what you did last week. You're not good enough to come in here. You just sit down and you don't even pay attention. God is not even going to speak. God hates you this week. God doesn't even like you. He never liked you to begin with. Look at you. And he'll speak to your mind and place things there. Well, if you just start doing more things for God, maybe he'd like you more. You know, and get you distracted and get you chasing after the wrong rabbit here. He wants this dog chasing after hunting that rabbit down there. That's not the truth. And God wants you to realize this one thing. He wants you to, it's really simple knowing this, that our salvation is not based on works. It's through grace. It's through grace. And Satan does not want you to comprehend this. He does not want you to understand this, because if it does, it changes everything. It changes everything. And so we realize that Satan does not want us to understand that. He also doesn't want us to understand that it's a free gift. That our salvation is a free gift. Romans 6:23 says it like this. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. I don't earn it. It's given to me freely. But I must receive it. And the thing about it is this, I can't receive your gift for you. As much as I love John over there, I cannot receive John's gift for him. He must make that decision on his own. As much as I love Jim, I can't make this decision for Jim. Jim has to make his decision on himself. As much as I love Pastor Joe, he really needs this gift. He must make that decision on his own. And so, but it's given freely. It's not something I earn. It's a matter of grace. It's that first point we looked at, grace. It's God, I accept your grace in my life. It's not about who I am. It's not about what I've done. It's about who you are as the Redeemer. It's about me confessing you as the Messiah. It's about me confessing that you are the one. You are the one. You are the one. As we sung about a while ago, you are the one. God, it's coming to me. God, you are the one who gives grace. You are the one who forgives those who have messed up terrible in their life. God, you are the one who restores the broken hearts. God, you are the one. God, you're the one. It's given freely. I must freely receive it. Just because it's given freely doesn't mean everybody has it. There comes a point where I must receive that gift. You've heard me use the illustration at Christmas time many times about this free gift, about how many times in our life we have a Christmas tree full of gifts, and we would never leave that gift unwrapped, would we, under the tree. I mean, December 26th, it's all gone, man. Here at my house, December 24th, they're all unwrapped. I mean, they're gone. They can't wait till Christmas. They got this one, come on, Dad, this is the day before. Please, please, midnight, can we do it? Please. I mean, we want to get the gifts open fast at our house, okay? With five kids, it goes fast. I'm like, slow down. I got to get it on camera. This has got to go, you know. I paid a lot of money for this gift. I want to capture this moment. We savor gifts. We love those gifts, okay? And so we would never think about leaving unopened gifts, but the matter of fact, it's given freely, and there's people who are living their life every day who had never opened that free gift. God has got it there, and it's a gift of grace. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can only receive it by faith. By grace, I receive it. And so Satan doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think you got to work for it. He wants you to think you're not good enough for it. He wants you to think you can never deserve it. He'll paint the picture in your mind. He'll keep your mind distracted. He wants to take away God's word out of your heart. He wants to do all these things because he ultimately knows this one thing, that it's not as hard as we make it. Which brings us to our last point. Salvation, it's an easy to receive. It really is. Salvation is easy to receive. Romans 10:9 says it like this. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you what? You will be saved. It didn't say this. It didn't say if you run a marathon and then you climb Mount Everest and you donate everything you have to charity and you fast for 120 days straight, then you will be saved. No, he says if you confess it with your mouth, that Lord Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, that he is Lord. I confess that, God, you are Lord. I confess you are the Messiah. God, I confess that, God, you are Lord over heaven and earth. God, there is none higher than you. I confess that you are Lord of my life. If you confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only confess it, but you believe it in your heart. It's not just confessing it, but I got to believe what I just said. I'm just not going through a ritual and saying, all right, here's my scripture prayer. I say the scripture prayer. Now I'm saved. No, I got to believe what I'm saying. At some point when I confess with my mouth, got to line up with my heart. And so I confess it with my mouth. I believe it in my heart that he truly is the Lord God. And that God has raised him from the dead. He was sacrificed on the cross for our sins, but on the third day, he rose again. He was raised from the dead. If I can believe those things, I can be saved. I don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. I don't have to sign the church roll. I don't have to become a church member here. He said, those who confess, they believe. Those who confess, they believe. Those who confess and they believe, they shall be saved. And so Satan doesn't want you to know this. He wants to keep your mind distracted. He wants to keep you from learning these things because ultimately he does not want you to go on that journey. Go back to that journey page if you guys would, where I had that diagram. If you can go back there, please. Ultimately, he does not want us to be there. He doesn't want us going from exploring God to beginning to God. He does not want that because ultimately his one desire is to see you and I miss out on heaven. So he doesn't want us going beyond exploring God. Matter of fact, there's a whole other level that's not on there, and that's everyone who's not here today, who's not going to church anywhere, who doesn't even believe in God, okay? We're also called to reach those people. These people on the right side, we're called to reach these people on the left, okay? It's not even on the chart today. That's a whole other sermon. But ultimately, God does not want you exploring him and becoming a beginning of God, because he knows that ultimately you will go to heaven and you're not going to join him in hell where he's going. He's jealous of that relationship with God. And he doesn't want you to get the word of God in your life, because he knows that it will change you from beginning in God to drawing closer to him. And he does not want you learning to give away who you are, because he does not want you to grow in your journey. Today, we're just learning about exploring God. We're just learning about this journey that God has called you and I to be on. I'm excited to share over the next 3 more weeks on this series about the different levels, how we're beginning in God and how we grow from beginning in God, closer to God, from closer to God to God's center. We're going to talk about these things, get into more in depth. And the thing about today that excites me is this, is that every one of us here, we're on a journey together. We're on a journey together, and God is going to move us, and God is moving us, and God is going to challenge you. And I believe that this series is going to challenge your heart to say, you know what, I want to go to another level in Jesus Christ. I want to go to another level in my relationship with God. So today I'm going to ask you to bow your heads where you're at. And we're going to do this today. Almost every week I ask this question. It's the most important question that we can do. It's the question of whether or not, if I die today, would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? As I talked about earlier, it's a free choice. But I can't make that decision for you. You must make that decision for yourself. But I tell you this, it's the beginning of a wonderful journey. You hear me talking about a journey, I would tell you this, that this journey has been the most beautiful journey that you'll ever go on. The most rewarding journey you'll ever step foot on. It's this journey of going after Christ, the things of Christ in your life. He will not disappoint you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But he's there along this journey. And today I know, as I'm talking, there's people here today that your heart's being led. You say, Pastor, as you were talking, I just never felt like I was good enough for God. I never felt like I was good enough. I've made so many mistakes in my life. And today I realized that it's by grace. It's by grace that God loves me. That salvation comes to me by grace. It's not by something I earn or something I have to work toward, but it's by grace that I freely receive God's gift of salvation in my life. And today, I want to make that decision. Now, I would not embarrass you in any way at all. No one's looking but me. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready today to pray this prayer in my heart to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to make that first step. Beginning with God. Can you just raise your hand and say, it's me? Pastor, I'm ready to make that decision. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today says, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make that decision. I want to join these others. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else today say, that's me. That's me. I want to make that decision today. Follow after God. Let's say this prayer together. Let's all repeat this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I confess you as Lord. And I believe in my heart that you are the Messiah. I give everything I am. I give it to you. I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these a hand clap. We pray that prayer, yes. Those of you who prayed that prayer today, I invite you, before you leave today, in the very back, we have some free Bibles and a packet that has a free Bible and some other material to help you along your journey. I'll tell you what do you do next, where to go. And you can pick it up in the very back. Gene's got those for you back there by the sound room. I'm going to invite you to stand today with me. As you stand to your feet today as we get ready to dismiss, I believe that God has got us on a journey, man. I'm excited to see where God's taking us. I'm glad to see you and excited to see what God's doing in my life and what God's doing in your life. And don't get discouraged today. If you see yourself and say, man, Pastor, I'm out there at the beginning. I'm at the beginning. I need to be over here. That's all right. That's all right. The important thing is that you're on the road. You're on the journey. You're here. You're seeking more God. And don't get discouraged because somebody next to you maybe is further along. That's okay. We're not here to compare. It's all about individual here. That I take personal responsibility for my journey and I grow. That's what God's judging me on. Am I growing personally? Am I further along in my journey now than I was last year at this time? That's what God's asking me. He's not asking me, am I caught up to you or are you where I'm at? No, that's not what he's asking. He says, are you further along than where you were last year? That's what he's asking. Are you growing yourself? And we take individual responsibility for our journey. But the exciting thing is that you're on the journey. You're on the journey. And I'm going to pray for you today. And let's just close out in this prayer. Father, well, I thank you for every person here. I thank you, God, that we're only here because of your grace. We're only here because of your grace. Without your grace, none of us could be here. Without your grace, none of us deserved salvation. But God, it's through your grace that you've forgiven me, Lord. A man who has sinned in his life. He's forgiven everyone here, people who have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And God, you have forgiven us by your grace. It's only by grace that we come into your presence. It's only by grace that we can worship you freely. It's only by grace that we have this awesome relationship with you that takes us on a journey from beginning to being close to you, to becoming a person God-centered. And God, today I pray for every person here that, God, we would never forget your grace in our life. That we never take your grace for granted. But God, knowing that your grace is overwhelming. And I pray for the person right now who needs to hear that word over and over and over again in their spirit, that grace is for them. And today, God, they would know in their heart that, God, you love them. You have not forsaken them. And God, your grace is big in their life today. May they feel your grace, God, big in their life today, knowing that you are the God who gives us grace. That's mercy we don't deserve. You give it to us so openly, so freely. We thank you today, God. We thank you for your grace in our life. May we challenge ourselves to go further in our journey, to keep walking in our journey, not to stop where we're at, but to pursuing your word. May your word come alive in our heart. May Satan not snatch it away from us, but may your word take root in our life, growing in faith, applying your word to our heart as we become people who ultimately want to give you everything we have away. That's our heart's desire. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Don't forget, we got a Brazil's missions trip meeting in the coffee shop right now for those who are going on the trip. God bless you. You guys have a great week.